Welcome back. It's Elizabeth Stewart. I'm speaking with Taylor Kosh, and we're talking about a Tony Award-winning play, and the play is Vanya, Sonia, Masha, and Spike, and it is being performed at the Ojai Arts Center Theater. And Taylor is talking with us, and I knew of Taylor's work with the Flying H Theater Company in Ventura, which was his child for many years. This is the opener for 2020 for the Ojai Arts Center Theater. Its performance is January 21st to February 13th. And Taylor has waited 2 years for the opening, obvious reasons. The interesting thing about the play is it deals with family dynamics, and we've been dealing with family dynamics through the pandemic, kind of forced to live with our families and, not get out much. So it should be a great time to see the play. Vanya and Sonia are brother and sister, and the gentleman who plays Vanya, Peter, is a social worker on top of, the resonance of the pandemic and the play. And the play deals with little things in people's lives that make a difference. And Taylor is an acting teacher, and he's done past productions at the Ojai Arts Center Theater, such as you might have seen his work in Endgame, in Big River, Beggars, the musical. And he's acted and directed at San Francisco Actors Theater and the theater that I knew real well because I did graduate work in the University of Minnesota, the Cricket Theater.
Indeed.
And LA, I did, and LATC in Los Angeles as well. And Taylor, you picked the play because why?
Well, there's a story with that. Originally, the director, when the first production started, was Linda Livingston, who's been an old friend for a long time. And they were days before opening when the COVID mania hit and they shut down. And when they decided in late September to reboot, Linda had conflicts. And at this point, she had cast my partner, Cynthia, in a role, and so they needed a new director, and I said, sure, I love that play. I've directed Durang before, and this one is one of his best. So I signed on in October, and we began loose rehearsals and then went strong in November.
And how did you pick your cast?
They were all but two at this point were cast from the original production. It was Peter Schreiner and Lori Walters and Tracy Williams, who is a fixture at the Art Center. She's the artistic director. Peter did spent years on the show Cheers as well as other work in L.A., and Lori was a number of things, including she worked at the Mark Taper all over, South Coast Rep, the Rubicon here locally. She was on Eight is Enough back in the day. And I think they got together and decided they wanted to do this. I ended up casting Spike, the roles of Spike and Nina. Spike was a friend of mine, a writer friend of mine, and actor from L.A., and he had just returned from New York, and he was anxious to do something, so he's been driving up. And Nina, Beltane Howden, is making her stage debut, and she's quite wonderful, actually. Unbelievable out of the box.
So can you make a distinction between, say, equity actors and the actors that you're directing?
Well, three of them are equity.
Okay.
Peter, Lori, and Tracy, and then the others are non-equity. Cynthia, who plays Cassandra, is a member of SAG and could have joined Equity, but never did. The distinction, I'm not really sure. Professionals have an ethic that amateurs don't. It's a different world being a professional theater actor. You're out of work a lot, just like local community theater actors. In this particular case, there really is no distinction between the professionals and the amateurs. They're all professional level, with the exception of Beltane, who's having her first go of it. But she's fabulous in the role. And I think a lot of their professionalism and their routine rubbed off on her. It was a great opportunity for her to work with people that are very skilled.
So let me ask you this. So you teach and you direct and you also perform.
I do.
So my question is this, you know, so in the casting of such a play, and also in your professional life, you know, you're teaching, how do you recognize talent?
You know, that's a great question. it really is. I can, back in the day, I had the Flying H Group in Ojai originally, and we worked out of the Art Center. And I can give you a perfect example. We were auditioning for Big River, and a young man came in and sang a song a cappella from a movie, actually. And it just absolutely blew me and the producers away. I mean, he was an extraordinarily talented young man, and he was all of 14. Well, we knew immediately he was destined for great things. And we performed that play in three different venues down at Simi Valley Cultural Art, up at the center stage in Santa Barbara, and there in Ojai. Zach has gone on to Zach Levy make a big splash in the film world. He's doing the Kurt Warner film right now. And you just recognize it. And I've had a number of students like that throughout the years. My children, with no help from me other than coaching, all four of them became actors in L.A. One remains. My oldest son did years of work and then decided he didn't want to do it anymore. My youngest son decided he was going to go off to college, and then my daughter is a ballerina who just finished her career at the Milwaukee Ballet. But they were all actors at one point. They all had talent. They grew up in an artistic family. My ex-wife was a photographer. I loved the last Jenna interview. That was wonderful. My ex-wife is a fabulous photographer, shot all over the world. So they grew up in that environment. When you notice someone with talent, they just have it. You know, they have to learn the skill, and they have to learn all of the things that go along with that talent, that it takes a lot of work. There's a lot of talented people that never excel because they don't work at it. It does take work. I started off as an artist and got involved in the theater in New York, but I went out there to be an artist, and there was a great deal of time that passed that I didn't paint. I'm now painting again, but I didn't work at it because I found this new love of the theater. Does that answer the question?
Yeah, definitely. So what years were you in New York?
I went there in 1976. I didn't have a phone number. I moved to 55th and 10th. Right up at the top of Hell's Kitchen there, and I just painted and painted and painted, and nothing for me was happening. I got into that world, and then by chance, I got an audition for a play through, it's a very long story, but it was a musical. I sang in choir one year. I couldn't read a note of music. I did one play in high school that I got kicked out of because I offended the teacher. But I learned the music off a record that I was going to audition with. I ended up getting the job and toured around the country for 11 months. And then I came back and said, okay, I'm going to be an actor. This is so much easier than painting. 76, and I stayed until 79, close to 80, and then moved to Minneapolis to do the Cricket Theater. Then I moved to San Francisco.
Right. So, you know, it's interesting because I did set design for ACT in San Francisco. I wonder if our paths crossed. I was there when Annette Bening was one of the actors there. And, you know, she and I used to share clothes. We were built the same way. And, you know, Peter Hall was there at the time.
So then I
actually did set design in Minneapolis as well at the Guthrie. And, you know, so, you know, we probably ran into each other at one point. And like I said,
I imagine.
You know, Christopher Durang was in that group of playwrights in New York at the time that you were there, maybe a little later, I don't know. But I used to see some of his early work at La Mama.
He started there for sure.
Yeah. And there was another playwright there that was a really interesting young man at the time. I forget it had an interesting last name. I think it started with an I. But at any rate, that was a real pressure cooker of really incredible playwrights at the time.
It was just vibrant. The whole theater scene was just vibrant, with writers and performers and designers. And it was pretty much every corner or vacant church had a theater in it. And it was really quite wonderful. It was a great time to be there and inexpensive to live there.
Yeah,
you could afford to live there.
Minneapolis as well.
Absolutely.
A great theater thing. Cricket was just kind of getting notoriety.
They were just starting when I was there.
Yeah.
And I did 1 year there, and I realized very quickly that to do the kind of theater that I wanted to do, I had to do it myself. And I was young, and, you know, you think you know everything. And so I moved to San Francisco with a woman that was also at the Cricket for a time. And that's how we got into the theater, that doing our own, realizing we're going to be able to do the kind of theater we want and not rely on a company and an artistic director and executive staff telling you what you're going to do, which is nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful to have the job. But it was also a lot more fun to create our own.
Thank you, Taylor. I want to have you back, though, because it's so interesting, your career, et cetera, et cetera. So,
I would love to.
Yeah. And then good luck with the play. I'd love to see it. We'll speak again soon.